The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they had entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we've mentioned now a couple of times today, this is the Sunday of the Transfiguration, a minor but important festival in the church here. And this is the story when Jesus goes up to a mountain, up to a high place with Peter, James, and John, and they encounter in some mysterious way Moses and Elijah, and a cloud descends on them, and the disciples hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." I think when we hear or read this passage, our initial instinct is to ask the question, what the heck happened up there? And how did it happen? And on that question, I'm going to take a note from the disciples and remain silent. If you fast forward to the very end of this reading, what we're told is after God speaks in that cloud, we're told the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and then this line, "And they," the disciples, "kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen." They kept silent. Why? I think because when they encountered in this mysterious way the presence of God, they didn't know how to communicate it. They couldn't, that as much was concealed in that theophany as was revealed. And so I'm going to follow their lead and not attempt to answer the question what happened or to describe it. But what I do want to do today is I want to put this event in some kind of context and perspective. I think context is always really important for us in our lives of faith. So I want to put this event of the Transfiguration in the context of first the Old Testament, and then in the context of the church. And then finally, as always, I want to talk about, well, what does that mean for us as people of faith today? So starting with the Old Testament, the obvious connection to the Old Testament here is those two individuals that Peter, James, and John and Jesus meet on the mountaintop, Moses and Elijah, both of whom are Old Testament characters, of course. We could talk for a long time about those two individuals. I'll lift up just a few points about them. The first, and this was a line in the hymn we just sang, is that in those individuals are represented the law and the prophets. So Moses gets the law from Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and Elijah, of course, is one of the prophets. Why is that important? It's important because that means they represent the entire Old Testament. You remember when Jesus sums up the all of the commandments and he says, "Love God, love your neighbor. On these two commandments hang all the what? The law and the prophets." So in those two individuals, we have again personified what we would call the Old Testament. Other connections to those two and Jesus would be both of them experienced the presence of God on a mountaintop. Both of them fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And very importantly, people in Jesus' time assumed or expected that Elijah would appear, would be a forerunner to the Messiah. And so his presence there is another confirmation of who this mysterious person Jesus is. Okay, so more could be said, but again, I lift that up as sort of continuity with the Old Testament. All right, the church. And here I want to turn to, we've talked about this perhaps many times, but I'll call it the church calendar or the liturgical year. And I want to just say a word about that generically before talking about the Transfiguration. I actually think that the church calendar, the liturgical calendar, the seasons of the church, while those may seem trivial, I think they are incredibly important for us people of faith. Why? Because they remind us that we have a different perspective about time than the world around us. And maybe the most obvious example of that is that our church year, as we've again discussed many times, doesn't start on January 1st, but rather starts with the first Sunday of Advent. And then as we move through the church calendar, again, with each new festival, with each new season, we're reminded that we see the world differently than that people around us do. A few weeks ago, Pastor Michaela talked about those binoculars, right, that help us to see God more clearly. Well, the church calendar, the liturgical year, the seasons of the year is one of the important ways that we do that. So, Transfiguration, where does that fit in that calendar? Well, it's about the midpoint between Christmas and Easter. And it both sums up everything that has happened in Christmas and Epiphany. I'll say a word about that. And then it's a kind of important pivot that turns us to the season of Lent. So Christmas, of course, is when Jesus is born. And then there's the festival of Epiphany, which is a word that means Christ is disclosed or made known. The festival of Epiphany actually includes a celebration of the wise men or the magi. We've talked about this before, but those wise men are represented in three little cute dots. It's the most charming part of our 24 panels. Those of you at home can't see this, but our Christmas panel has three little dots, and those represent the wise men. So that's Epiphany. And then in the Sundays following Epiphany, everything we do here in worship, all of the readings we use, the baptism of Jesus, Jesus turning water into wine, the miracles of Jesus, Jesus preaching, are all about disclosing, making known to the nations who this Jesus is. And the consummation of that, the climax of that, is the Transfiguration, when Jesus is transformed on this mountain and made dazzling white, so there's no doubt at all about his identity, right? So that's sort of the culmination of Christmas and Epiphany for Transfiguration. The other thing, though, as I mentioned, is that Transfiguration then turns us to point our faces with Jesus towards Jerusalem. And in the Gospel of Luke, which we heard here, this is the only Gospel account of the Transfiguration where we're actually told what Jesus and Moses and Elijah spoke about. Matthew and Mark don't include that. And so what are they talking about? Verse 30, suddenly the disciples saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking of Jesus's departure. Departure. Now, the word that's translated from is Exodus, which will sound familiar to you. Connects again to Moses and his leading the Hebrew people out of slavery and bondage into freedom through the story of the Exodus. Jesus' Exodus, his departure, though, is going to be by doing what? By climbing up on a cross and giving his life freely for all of us. And so you get the sense here, as Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah about this, my own view anyway, is that they are helping to give him courage, helping him to be strong as he turns his face towards Jerusalem. Okay, so do you see how Transfiguration is both the summation of everything that's happened since Christmas and also allows us now to turn towards Lent with Ash Wednesday? Final point. So we talked about the Old Testament, the church calendar. What does it mean for us? And for us, I'm going to use the disciples' to compare and contrast. So again, Peter, James, and John are there on the mountaintop. They experience this transfiguration of Jesus. And then after that, their lives are changed, and they're made perfect, and they never make a mistake again, right? Thank you for laughing. You know the story very well. They are a hot mess with the rest of the disciples, even though they have seen Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop. Just a few examples. One, on the mountain itself, you know what they can't do? They can't stay awake. It's only one of the most important moments in Jesus' life, and they're sitting there sleepy. This is one of two times in the Gospel of Luke where Luke talks about the disciples struggling to stay awake. The other is at the Garden of Gethsemane, another hugely important point in Jesus' life where he knows he's going to be arrested, right? And the disciples are, you know, they're like, I need a nap, Jesus. You know, this is about me. So they're sleeping during the transfiguration. As soon as they come down, by the way, Jesus is upset with all the disciples because they continue to not get what he's talking about. And then fast forward, and we'll talk more about this during Holy Week. During Holy Week, during those events, the disciples completely disappoint Jesus. They desert him. They deny him. One betrays him. Now, I mention this not to encourage all of you to go out and be hot messes and not try to live lives for Jesus, but to recognize that like the disciples, we probably are going to make a few mistakes along the way. Can I get an amen to that? And so as we prepare for Lent, I share this as a way of sort of letting us take a breath and to recognize that while, again, we don't aspire to be disappointments to Jesus, we recognize we will be, as his disciples were. And yet, did he still love those disciples? Yes. Did he still give his life for them? Yes. And the same is true for us. So in that word, I think there is a word of relief for us and a recognition that we are saved not by our own awesomeness or faithfulness or perfection, but by the perfection of Jesus, right? And so I leave us today with that cloud descending on the mountain and the voice of God speaking to the disciples again. This is my son, my chosen. And then what are the words? Listen to him. So on this Transfiguration Sunday, as we prepare for the important season of Lent, I pray that we will have ears to hear what Jesus has to say to us today. Words like, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Or words like, I will be with you always. Or words like, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Or words like, I forgive you. Or maybe most importantly, words like, I love you no matter what. Let's pray. Good and loving God, we pray today and always that our eyes will be opened to the true reality of who you are as the Son of God. And we also pray that you will open our ears to hear your voice and to listen to it. Give us the faith to trust it and the courage to follow it. And all this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.